Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Jim McGovern, how do you understand the whole debate over the Keystone Pipeline?
Yeah, it's become a debate that's much ado about nothing right now. I mean, oil prices are at an all-time low. I'm not even sure, quite frankly, that if the president approved the Keystone Pipeline, that the financing would be there to build it at this particular point. And but the supporters have exaggerated its significance to the point that it doesn't reflect reality. I mean, all these thousands and thousands of jobs, I mean, we're talking some temporary jobs that would be created potentially, but in the long term, not a lot of jobs. And I also think that we need to, you know, ask ourselves, is this where the future is? If you're going to invest in major infrastructure, is this the area you want to do it in? We need to, I think this would be a good time for us to actually develop an energy policy, that looks to the future and doesn't rely on the same old, you know, which is the past. And I think that's what the Keystone Pipeline is all about. It represents the past, in my opinion.
Let me ask you a question, shifting gears here for a minute. Governor Patrick and others have been really pushing the Olympics for right. Massachusetts. Is this a good idea?
You know what? I mean, I'm kind of proud that Massachusetts is being considered for the Olympics. I think it's a good idea if, in fact, it translates into, you know, upgrading our infrastructure in a way that is beneficial not just for the games, but well beyond the games. Whether it's, you know, road or bridge construction or increased, you know, rail access or, you know, those kinds of things. If it's just about, you know, spending all this money, you know, so that we could have, a few weeks of, like, being on TV, that's not enough. If we can leverage getting the Olympics here to actually improve things in our Commonwealth, and not just in Boston, by the way, but all throughout the Commonwealth, then I think it's a good thing. And so, the devil's obviously in the details, and it's still early on. But I'm intrigued.
So, give me one example of something, Jim McGovern, that might really benefit everybody coming out of the Olympics.
You know what I mean? Better rail access. Better roads, better bridges. Improving some of our neighborhoods. Investing taxpayer money just to put on games is, you know, I mean, we've had some examples where you've had Olympics in the past where you've built these stadiums and you've built all this kind of infrastructure, but there's no practical use to it afterwards. Mm. The question is whether or not we could use these Olympics and not just, you know, focus on Boston, but focus on the entire state. I mean, there are activities that, you know, might be more, put on in the western part of the state or, you know, in the central part of the state. And so if it results in that, I mean, and I think that's, you know, what we're waiting to hear. I mean, we all like the idea of, the idea of the Olympics in Massachusetts. The question is, when the Olympics are over, are we in better shape or are we in worse shape? And I think if the answer is we're in better shape, then I think that's something that's intriguing we ought to look at.
Now, Jim McGovern, sticking with the sports question, do the Red Sox have any chance of winning this year?
I hope so. I was with Nancy Pelosi, and we were in Cuba in the Dominican Republic last week.
Oh, yeah.
I was in the Dominican Republic. I met with our ambassador, this incredible man, Wally Brewster, he invited us to his home for a reception. And I said to him, I said, you know, is David Ortiz around? And he said, well, he's sometimes around. You know, he's from the Dominican Republic. And when I walked into the house, I was greeted by David Ortiz.
Wow.
Yeah. So I asked
him. What was that like?
He says he feels good about this upcoming year. So.
Yeah. What was that like?
You know what? An incredibly nice man. It was a real thrill. It's probably the one thing that I've done that my kids actually are impressed with. So I made sure I got a picture of it so that I could prove to them. You know, so they were impressed for 2 seconds, and then they were complaining that they like the Red Sox more than I do, or they like Ortiz more than I do, so they should have been there. So, but nonetheless, for 2 seconds, they thought it was a big deal.
What is it about Massachusetts people that make them so insanely pro Red Sox? I mean, you don't see the same vigor with other teams.
You know, I that's a good question because you know, a lot of people have asked me about that. I it's just part of our culture, and it is we've had years and years of coming close to winning World Series and then not quite making it, and the heartbreak and the ups and downs, and some really larger than life players and coaches and management teams, and and also there's something magic about Fenway Park. I mean, I'm really glad that they didn't demolish it like they demolished a whole bunch of other ballparks across the country. It still kind of retains that magic. That makes you feel like you're at an incredible event. And so it's I think we're it's instilled in us from the time we're born that we have to be Red Sox fans, and not only fans, but passionate about it.
Well, my kid, who is now 40 years old, travels the country and does his work, and whatever town he's in, he finds a Red Sox bar somewhere.
My daughter, who's 13, if only the Red Sox had a college, then she'd get all A's to get to that college. But she screams at the TV and wants to go to all the games knows everybody's batting average. I'm trying to get her to understand division and subtraction, but we're getting there. But if it's an equation with the Red Sox involved, she can answer it.
I want to switch because some person is going to write me a letter and say you didn't ask them the tough questions.
All right.
And so I want to ask you real quickly about ISIS. Do you see any way, based on the provocations that we are seeing from these folks, that we should put boots on the ground?
I don't. I mean, I personally don't. And the reason why is because I don't think that solves the problem. I mean, the problem in that part of the world, is our lousy governments. I mean, look at we invested, an incredible amount in terms of blood and treasure in this first Iraq War, which I thought was a mistake. But nonetheless, we had countless thousands of troops on the ground. We trained the Iraqi army. We gave them the best military and the most equipment that money could buy, and we put in place a government that turned out to be as bad as the previous government, and that turned out to be just as brutal as the previous government. And a vacuum was created where ISIS was able to go in and appeal to even moderate Sunnis to for support. And and when ISIS came in, the Iraqi army basically took off their uniforms and turned over their weapons and ran. All the bombing in the world is not going to force people in that part of the world to live with each other and to respect each other's point of view and ethnic background and religious background. We need to find ways to encourage ultimately for there to be a political solution there. And, I mean, there's no other way around it, I mean, other than endless war. And even with endless war, people just die every day. And so I really would like to see, and I don't have all the answers, I wish I did, but I would like, when the administration came in with their requested authorization for the use of military force, my question was, how does this end? Can someone just tell me how we get a happy ending here so I know where we're going? And there really is no answer to that. And I think that we owe it to our men and women in uniform before we start sending them back over into another war in the Middle East that we know what the hell we're doing, that there's a clearly defined mission, a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I got to tell you, I don't want American men and women dying for a lousy government in Iraq any more than I want them dying for a lousy government in Afghanistan. And we hear one day that in Syria we want to overthrow the Syrian government, then the next day, no, we're going to live with the Syrian government. And I mean, I want to know what is the strategy here. Mm-hmm. And I get the impulse because the violence of ISIS is so unconscionable. You want to scream at the TV. But what we got to do is what works and what's smart. And I think we know it doesn't work. We got to think more creatively here. And and again, none of this is easy. But you know, getting involved in another war with countless American boots on the ground. I think that's what ISIS wants. They want this to be a war against the West.
I agree with you. Jim McGovern, we love talking to you, and I could talk to you for hours because I just agree with almost everything you're saying here. So thank you so much for doing this. We'll see you sooner rather than later.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much.
And we appreciate it, Jim. Thanks again.
All right.